What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to PlayStation Generation, the podcast that believes in generations. My name is Matt, and I'll be your host for today's journey. I'm joined, as always, by the big boss himself, Mr. Court Lalonde. What's up, Court?
Really? But is that the new thing?
Sure, I'm running with it. Right, I don't know. It just fits.
It fits.
I like it.
Yep. I'll be the first to admit I am not the boss in my house.
But it doesn't matter.
I'm more of a do what I'm told half the time. It's just easier.
Liaison.
We were talking right before everybody went live. So I'm going to get a mani-pedi right after the show. Lucky. Because I'm going away. And so I respect you taking care of the cuticles.
Yeah. The cuticles, yes, of course.
Bro, it doesn't matter if you are a boss. You give off boss energy. That's just, I feel that from you.
Boss man.
That's true.
Right?
I've always felt that.
Right,
you know that side part is.
Oh, today's immaculate. A hat day.
That's true.
You guys are not wearing the hats. Today's a hat day.
That's true. Matt has that flow going on.
It is definitely a Boston Bruins hat. I will say that for the Leaf fans out there. Suck it.
Leafs. I feel like Court is eternally one conversation away from asking for the manager. You know what I mean? He just gives off that boss energy.
Dude, my wife is literally that person.
Really,
all the time, Just recently, my daughter played in a hockey tournament this weekend. Her team was undefeated.
We won. Hell yeah.
She got two goals. She's playing with, it's called Mini Worlds where I live here, and she gets to play with 14 and under. And so for her, these kids are twice her age, and she held her own. She got two goals. There was a girl on her team that was she could skate end to end and just deke out everybody. It was unbelievable. This girl is phenomenal at hockey. I was so impressed. But there was a incident where my daughter she missed two shifts because my daughter is not very, she's like me. She's goes with the flow a little bit, but she was getting away from the bench. And my wife took a whole 2 seconds when the coach got off the ice to explain to that coach that my daughter missed two shifts. And I'm just sometimes I get it. Sometimes I get it. Speak up for yourself. People butt you in line, people disrespect for you. You speak up for yourself. Something like that. Just let it go. Sometimes you don't know why that happened. It wasn't purposeful. Yes, they might not have noticed, but maybe this is my opinion as someone who plays organized sports his whole life, and I am a coach. It is a very hard job to coach a hockey club with young kids. Very hard job. It's stressful. Kids are a lot to deal with sometimes. I love them all, but they are a lot to deal with. I usually find it's easier when the parent doesn't come at you because parents are overreactive. And they always 9 times out of 10 say the wrong thing. When it comes to your kid, I totally get it. You go for bat for them, but nine times out of 10, it actually is better for it to come from the child or the kid than the parent.
Sure.
Because if I told my daughter, hey, just let the coach know that, you missed a couple shifts and then she walks up to the coach, I missed a couple shifts. I don't know. It just says it from a kid's voice. One, the guilt right there. It's humongous. When a parent does it, you don't know where that coach, how bad of a day they've had. They might just be
throw hands.
Yep.
It's time to throw hands.
You can't. So interesting enough, as a parent, you have to take a course before each season of hockey for you to even go to the rink.
Interesting.
It's not long. I mean, it's
hilarious. Story.
It's a couple, I would say an hour and a half. It talks about for example, I coach girls hockey. Yeah. I can't be in the room until they're all dressed. So which we have sense. Totally makes sense.
Yeah.
But you can't say specific things. You have to go through a whole class on how to speak to the kid.
Yeah.
Words that are inappropriate, words that are appropriate. Which is great. You have to get a police background check. All the great things.
Yeah. But
when I was young, growing up in the 90s and the 80s.
They didn't have that.
No, you had drunk coaches and it is what it is. They all said inappropriate things. They all smoked in the dressing room. None of that stuff can happen now. The new rules, the kids decide when any coach, female or male, is allowed back in that room.
Right.
Well, that's good. I mean, the kids should have more agency in these situations, right? So that's never a bad thing.
And I apologize for derailing at the very beginning of the show.
It's okay, because we're also joined this week by the PlayStation Hokage himself, Mr. Rice Boy. What's up, Rice?
I'm putting in my seals right now. Okay, sorry. Woo, Matt just blew up my ego.
Dude, I've been like ruminating on like a cool moniker for you, and it hit me today, and I was like, this is it.
I freaking love it, man. I love you, dude. I'm doing well, man. I'm doing well. It's so good to be here. Still buzzing off of our last episode, mm-hmm. and just the conversations that we had, and really feel. Yeah, I feel really hype for what we're doing here, what we're talking about, and really just to be on this journey with you guys. So, yeah, I just wanted to reiterate that.
Likewise, my dude.
Risque on this now. It, can someone do me a favor who's watching this? Because we're going to talk about Celeblade, like, obviously. But can someone do themselves a favor and Google Al Pacino Serpico or Al Pacino from way back in the day and then look at Matt and then just laugh about it? Like, he's got, like, Attica. The flow. Attica. Like, he's got totally. Al Pacino. Like,
Jesus Christ.
Just stop playing with that light, dude.
Please. It's not turning on. It is what it is. We ride.
Like, he's got the Al Pacino. Like, he might as well be like, hoo-ah. He doesn't know what I'm talking about. So anytime
not a clue.
About stuff like that, right?
Not a clue.
He doesn't get it.
Attica? Okay. Like, the band?
Now, do you see it? Do you see it, Rice?
I do. And I have a picture right here. It's perfect.
No, put it in the chat so Matt can see
it. Put it in the chat and I'll pull it up.
Oh my god. Yeah.
He's Al Pacino right now. And I can't get it out of my mind.
Steve also agrees that he can also see it.
Thank you, Steve.
Hold on.
This right here, sorry.
No, you're good. I don't know. I genuinely know who Al Pacino is.
You know
who I know who Al Pacino is. That much I'm with you.
But like Serpico, like the whole it's a thing.
Here, I'm putting it in the Discord because I don't
know. Yeah, send it there. I'll pull it up here. Okay, that's okay. This is the live. This is what we're doing here.
This is what we Hold do.
Share screen. Wait, Al Pacino on his legendary roles. Here we go.
Look at this flow.
Boom.
Boom.
Yeah, but there's one with him with the beard. The flow is there, but there's Al Pacino with the whole beard going on. I know Steve knows what I'm talking about. I'll find it. Keep going. Mm-hmm. Keep talking about it.
Right. Yeah.
But yeah, well, welcome back to PlayStation Generation. 7 minutes in, where we're going to kick things off here. This week, we're talking about Stellar Blade. We're talking about Sea of Thieves. We're talking about more Xbox on PlayStation and a whole lot more. So make sure you strap in and prepare yourselves for quite the swashbuckling adventure this week. We're going to kick things off, as always. I want to hear what's been captivating our wonderful host's attention in the last little week or so since we last spoke. And Rice, I'm going to go to you first because everybody knows Court can't multitask. What's been keeping you busy lately?
Yeah, man. Really, really diving into Destiny 2. Been really just doing the PvE stuff and trying to find my place in it again. Mm-hmm. Because before I had actually kind of focused more on PvP. But where I kind of fell in love with Destiny was with the lore, with the story, with the PvE stuff. And so kind of diving into that and going into Final Shape, I am really, really just enthralled once again with the world. And so that said, I am still a little bit, you know, reluctant to get my hopes up for a Final Shape, and that's you know, that's just the position that I am in right now, but there's also some excitement there. So I don't know, I guess I'm reluctant because I don't want to be let down. I'm so loyal to this franchise, and it means a lot to me, so yeah, that's what I'm playing. Also, just to kind of cap off what we had been talking about the past couple weeks, I had been playing Dragon's Dogma 2, and the kind of final log, I think that I'm departing from it now, of hours is
okay
130 hours.
Excuse me?
Wow, dude.
Excuse me?
A lot, eh? Like, she's really working a lot. What's going on?
Bro, wow. Good for you.
The reason why I'm departing is because there was something that was said.
And I warned you last week.
I know you did.
Bro, but this thick trajectory from 2 weeks ago at like 20 hours to last week, was it like 70 to now at 120?
130.
Yeah, 130, bro. If you go back to the 70 hour mark, that was when I was like, dude, you gotta
tell me. I know. But you know what? We had a great Saturday. We went out, had some coffee, even had this really heartfelt talk, maybe and even some happy tears, you know? It was
And so the entire good. Time you were just thinking about Dragon's Dogma 2.
Need to farm resources.
Yeah. It's like sitting at the back of your mind being like, this is lovely, but I wish. Well, I'm glad, my dude. I'm glad that it's continuing to captivate you, even though the brakes may have been put on for you. I'm glad that you still got a good 120 hours out of it.
Yeah,
Court, this is killing me.
Is it not? I'm telling you, dude.
Audio listeners will have to go to YouTube to check this one out because this is killing me. It's so funny. And it's beautiful. I can kind of see it.
Mm-hmm.
I can kind of see it.
They can also see all of your Discord. But
yeah, I know. Okay. It is what it is. rolling right around. Court, what's been keeping you busy?
Well, I've been playing a couple things. I am one trophy away from MLB The Show. I haven't really played MLB The Show. I literally watched a trophy guide to get the last two because they're the hardest two to get. I got one of them. I actually got the hardest one, which is the most annoying part.
What's the hardest one?
It's to have the bases loaded and then strike out three batters in a row. So doing 100 pitches, I've done it a bunch of times, but for some reason, I didn't finish the game. Or like the other one I got, I pitched actually 100 pitches. So I have to pitch under 100 pitches and finish a game. So think about it. There's technically, if you strike out every batter, that's 9 pitches. But if you get a foul ball, that just keeps adding up, right? So anyways,
right.
Can you just throw balls at the other team, knock them all out, and then that would be how many people are there on a baseball game? Like 20 people a team? Nope. And then that's 20 people, game can't continue, you win. That's how it works, right? Nope. Bryce, back me up here.
Yes, I believe you can also shoot a Kamehameha across the field.
Yep.
None of that. But
yep.
So also this weekend, like in the last little week, it's NHL playoffs. So my brain has kind of been less video games. But I have been I did use an old save file thanks to our friend Steve McVary of giving me that advice while we were reviewing Stellar Blade. And I've been trying to get some trophies that I haven't had, and I've been back into Stellar Blade, running around with the bunny suit and everything. We'll talk more about Stellar Blade. And I've also I've been swashbuckling with Matt over there, and I've been playing Sea of Thieves on the PS5. Not only did I play with Matt, I can safely say that I played it with some of the developers from Rare the other day, and it was unbelievable experience. I had a phenomenal time. Thank you to Xbox Canada for providing console creatures this opportunity. I got to play Sea of Thieves on launch day with a Rare dev, and man, I had a great time. I shot a dog out of a cannon into the side of a mountain, and it bounced off and like into the air, into the abyss. And I had so much fun playing that game. It's so much fun, right? I haven't played it since launch of the Xbox Series X, and that's the first time I played it at the time. And I really liked it, but everybody who was jumping in with me, they're like, "Oh man, I've already played this game. Like, I don't need to play it anymore." And I remember doing the Pirates of the Caribbean DLC and really liked that. So I played with Matt, and we played some of the Pirates of the Caribbean DLC. Matt's probably reading the comments. I'm not looking at the YouTube.
No, I'm thinking back to our play session together, where I experienced what it would be like to have Court as the tired, frustrated father. I'm the type of person that when I play a game, I don't stop moving. I'm constantly all over the place. Even if there's something going on, if the controller's in my hands and I have free reign, I'm bouncing off stuff. My ADHD will not let me sit still. And Court was just like, "Can you stop moving? Like, can you not listen to what this person is saying?" At one point, we were up a giant tower, and I was like, "Do you think if I jumped off and landed in the water, would I live?" And in the most tired, exasperated voice, he just goes, "Don't jump." it was just at that point, just done. And I could tell because at first he was talking to me a lot, and then the more annoying I got as the hour went on, the more frustrated he started getting, to the point where he's just like, "Somebody needs to put this kid down because he obviously needs a nap." And then that's the vibe I was getting. It was a lot of fun, but I just heard Court wear on as the hour went on, just be like, "Just sit. Can you just sit still for 30 seconds?
I need the game with toddler Matt."
Yeah.
And Daddy Court. Think about it. Like Sea of Thieves, you played it, Rice. It is go do this, go do that. Other people work as a team to go do things.
Totally.
And you do have to listen when you're doing mission. You have to pay attention to what's going on. And Matt was just like, especially the puzzles. Like, so when you do the Pirates of the Caribbean one, there's a puzzle where I have to do something so that Matt can do something. And Matt's like, "Jump." I'm like, "Dude, I can't." He's like, "How am I supposed to get across?" I'm like, "If you just wait a second." I can get you there, but just wait a second. And then he gets across and I'm like, Matt, and he's like running away. I'm like, you need to help me. You need to get me back over here now. I just got you over. Now you need to be bring me over to the other side of this thing. Man. I was like, come on, man. Just stop moving.
That would be so bad if I was there because I would be with Matt. I'd be like, oh, look at this. Look at this. Look at this. Golden Retriever vibes all the way through. And then it would just be, yeah.
It's really
like,
funny.
We're literally hunting treasure and we have to do specific tasks. And Matt's just like, well, why don't we try and get ahead of it? I'm like, nope, the game doesn't let you do that. And then the characters are talking and Matt's like, well, this is boring. And I'm like, I get it. And then we realized at the end of this, I had a play session with Riley and the dev and I had a great time. I had my PlayStation with Matt. I had a great time, but we also learned this kind of isn't a game for Matt.
Yeah, yeah.
This is not a game for Matt. He loves his like Stellar Blade. We're going to talk about it. I'm sure that's fast, action packed. It's going. But like Sea of Thieves have some parts where we're just riding a boat, you know, literally playing music. And Matt's like, I can't take this.
At that point, I was trying to jump on the highest thing that I could find and pulling out my guitar and my drums, just trying to play music. And in the court's like, can you just go somewhere and just relax? Like it was, I could not handle it. Listen,
you like fishing?
I like real fishing.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
so you can relax. You could just sit in a boat and do nothing.
Maybe.
No, you can't. I don't believe you.
There's so much confidence there.
Yeah, maybe. There's zero confidence. Once I put the parameter in there, like what real fishing is, Matt's like, I like real fishing. I'm like, so you can sit in a boat and do nothing? He's like, no.
It was just one of those things that's like the game is great. I can understand why people would like it. And for me, playing in small batches, I think is the key because after Court and I played for like an hour here, an hour there. I got in, you know, ran around, like did a couple things, came back and, you know, got some gold and I enjoyed it. But when I tried to play for 2, 3, or 4 hours at a time, like half an hour in, my mind would just turn off and I just couldn't because it's just at its best, it's very peaceful. It's very calm when you're just out by yourself on the seas doing stuff. Right. It's a lot of fun. But when I was literally spending 20 minutes running to and from a sea fortress, carrying one piece of treasure back and forth at a time, I was like, somebody shoot me. Put me out of my misery.
Honestly, I would have.
Yeah, I know you would have. Yeah. I know you would have. Sea of Thieves, like it's great. I just don't know if it's inherently for me. Playing by myself, playing with Court was much more fun because even there was a point where the skeleton dude was like, "You have to go find my crew," and like I was like, "That has to be that way," and I just take off running without any thought. Court turns around and then like I after maybe about 30 seconds, Court's like, "Okay, I found it," and I turn around. I'm like, "Oh, you're right. Wait, where are you? On the other side of the map." Like we were nowhere near each other at that point. I was just convinced I was heading in the right direction based off nothing. Right. And Court was trying to do the right thing. But
I was even trying to help him get like I will say this. I didn't have this happen. I have tons of achievements on this on my Xbox. Not all of mine popped when I turned on my PlayStation. Okay. But the cool thing I found is because I already had most of these trophy/achievements, Matt didn't. So when he was playing, they were popping simultaneously. So I'm playing with him and he's like, boom, I'm getting Xbox achievements while he's getting PlayStation trophies at the exact same time. So like his adrenaline kick was just like bing, 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 bing the whole time we're playing. Like I was even helping him. Like there's some easy trophies to get that we can get just by like taking a sword to each other.
And right.
Even though that was a little bit of a task because Matt would not listen, man. He would do it. I'm like, just do this. You'll get a trophy. He's like, yeah. No, Matt, just do this and you'll get it. Yeah. I'm like, all right, forget it. And he's like, no. I want them. I'm like, okay. All right. But
dude, that the chaotic energy.
I'm having so much fun playing this game. It is the one game that I truly do hope is huge of a game that gets brought back over Xbox. Not only is it the first game ever that Rare has ever put on PlayStation. And that's crazy when you think about it. We got Banjo-Kazooie, Battletoads. We have a pedigree. Like Xbox bought them in what, 2002, 2003, something like that, when they bought Rare. The PlayStation came out in 1994. Like there was years where we could have had some Banjo-Kazooie on PlayStation there. And it just never 2002, happened.
2002, you're right.
Oh wow, that's very rare.
Nailed it.
And very rare. Ah. Nailed it. Just seeing that logo on the PlayStation was just like that's awesome. Because my childhood is playing a lot of games from Rare. I really do think they're a phenomenal developer and they've made some phenomenal games. Seeing that game come there, it gives me hope that even a game like Helldivers, we've talked about this, Helldivers 2, I do think it would be awesome if it was on Xbox because then you get a bigger player base. Like the pre-orders for this game were the biggest pre-orders on the PlayStation Store. Like, it was huge, man. Yeah, everybody wants to jump in and play Sea of Thieves, and it's because you can. I truly think it is magical, and I'll use those words because we can discuss how they set the stage in this game. It's like you're on a theme ride. It's magical to play with friends. Playing by yourself, I'll be the first to admit, it's more of just picking things up and getting things done. And you can't really do a lot, I feel, the missions and all. You can't get the experience of Sea of Thieves unless you're playing with friends.
Yeah,
it truly is a play with friends type game. And that's what I do love about this. Now you can have Xbox, PlayStation, Steam. It doesn't matter. We all can play the game together. And I just, these type of games, multiplayer games, I think they always should be multi-platform. Always.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Rice.
Yeah, and I was going to say, in spite of, you know, the kind of golden retriever energy that you were giving off there, Matt, like, I do think that that's also an appeal to, a chunk of people where they can just go in and be goofballs. And that's part of the magic too, right? Like, I know I'm the same way. I am the one that's annoying my group when it comes to Sea of Thieves, but that is the energy, right? You know, and as long as everyone's going in like, all right, guys, we're just going to goof off.
Which is fine. Like, if you want to get, like, I was explaining to Matt, I'm like, they wouldn't let us on the mission. And it was interesting. We were doing the Pirates of the Caribbean mission.
The first Tall Tale.
They let you get drunk, but they don't let you get super drunk. Now, in the game, you can get super duper drunk and throw up. So I was trying to show Matt that, and they didn't. But Matt and I were walking around the ghost ship, like, hammered. And, like, you could see our characters stumbling around the ship. And that's hilarious to me, right? Super. But they didn't let us get super duper drunk to throw up because... You can get drunk in the game and throw up. Like, the stuff that's coming in season 12 for this game looks unbelievable. Like, the fact that we can shoot across with the harpoon gun and we can ride, you know, we're all going to try stuff. Like, I'm going to try and shoot my animal and see if I can knock it across. I'm definitely going to try and do that. I shot it out of a cannon. Let's see if I can shoot it with a harpoon. I learned so much when I was playing with the devs. Like, they were showing us, you shoot the harpoons into the water, you can pull resources up there to get your cannonballs. I do love the excitement they put in this game, because you can, like, run out of cannonballs, you can run out of wood that you're like, go down with the ship and there's nothing else you could do. That's why there's a trophy that if you let your captain stay in the ship and you go and get sunk, you can play music like you're almost the Titanic. There's a trophy for that. Like, they know what they have, and that's the best part. Like, Matt was laughing even at the names of these trophies while they were popping. He was just like, oh my god, like, it's just, the game is self-aware. A lot of fun. And I think, and I hope it's a hit so that we can get more people playing more multi-platform games.
Yeah.
I understand the first party, you know, single player campaigns, and you got to, you know, system sellers, but games like this, man, there's so much more fun when we can all play.
Community.
It really nails it, especially a game like Sea of Thieves that, like, say what you will about playing solo, you can't do it. And, like, we weren't able to test out the open crew stuff because it's closed until season 12 starts. But then, like, even just being able to hop in and be able to crew up with random people, from what I've heard, it works to a varying effect depending on the people that you find. But I mean, I think that's any multiplayer game. Just being able to play with anyone, doesn't matter what console you're on, being able to hang out. So I think let's kind of broach this larger conversation, because I've been playing that, and I've been playing, and then I finished Celeblade, which we'll talk about Celeblade in a little bit. What other games do you want, or do you expect Xbox to bring over? Because now I feel like we're starting to see the gates open. Hi-Fi Rush has obviously been, Hi-Fi Rush came, Pentiment came, Sea of Thieves is here. There's one more that I'm missing in that initial four set. Pentiment, Hi-Fi Rush, Sea of Thieves, and... I'm blanking out here.
The first one I was thinking about, as Dust Fall, that wasn't a...
Grounded.
Grounded.
All Grounded. Yeah.
But as Dust Falls or whatever, that wasn't a Xbox. That was just an Xbox exclusive for a while, right? Because that came to the console too.
It did. But, like, what are we expecting to see? Are we expecting them to continue this on? Do you think the next Elder Scrolls, the next Fallout, will be multi-platform? Or are you expecting them to kind of, as PlayStation's been doing with PC, being like, here is a game that hit a couple of years later. Let's see if we can get any more sales out from this. What are you expecting from Xbox, their strategy moving forward on PlayStation? Because, like, for me, I would love to have, you know, Halo come over, because, again, you're getting into interesting territory here, because the multiplayer aspect of Halo is obviously massive and obviously starting to dwindle. Do you, you know, do we kind of revitalize it this way? I can't, like, can you imagine the minds that would blow from being able to play Halo on PlayStation?
Gears it's so would be chaotic.
Great, right? So
it's but I like, love it.
100%. So it's just like, how deep are they going to go? Or do you think this is more of a new initiative going forward? Rice, where are you at on all this?
I would think so. I mean, like, that's where the trajectory feels like it's going. To your thought on Halo, I am all for that. Like, just first of all, it would make a lot of noise, you know? So even just generating interaction and just buzz about Master Chief being on a PlayStation platform is wild. But I think that would also just be really great for the multiplayer community of Halo because of its current state. You know, it's been a roller coaster. I can personally speak to Halo because that's where I'm from, really. And I welcome that. So I would think so. How they're going to do that, how they're going to roll it out, I don't know. Then another title that you had mentioned is Grounded, which I have also sunk a bunch of hours into. You know, I was a Minecraft player, and when I was playing Minecraft, I was playing with people. And so Grounded kind of scratched that itch for me for a while. So yeah, anything that I can jump onto a platform and play with other people, regardless of what platform they're playing on too. So
Court, what do you think?
I'm actually surprised the games that didn't hit, like Pentiment, I didn't like the game at all. I reviewed the game. I did not like the game. It just wasn't for me. It just is what it is. But I found it very interesting that it was so surprisingly overwhelmed. The Xbox community was like, I love this game. And then it drops on PlayStation and it went out like a fart. Like no one cared. But when it released on Xbox, it was such a big deal. And I truly think this, and I'm not trying to start up console war garbage because I hate it. Mm-hmm. Xbox has its player base. PlayStation's player base is bigger. Mm-hmm. Let's be honest. These are just facts.
Yep.
We're just going to go on facts here. PlayStation's player base is bigger. So when a game like Pentiment hits, you get the zeitgeist of the people who are like, well, we have to like this game because it's our exclusive. Mm-hmm. And we're going to talk it up like it's nobody's business. And you saw that. Like the Xbox-centric reviewers, everything, they think 9 out of 10. It's game of the year. And I'm like, wow, this is crazy. Like, it's a weird thing to say about this game, but the game didn't sell on PlayStation. And I'm still surprised on this one. Neither did Hi-Fi Rush. Hi-Fi Rush is already on sale.
Right.
Grounded, which everybody all thought, wow, this game's going to be a killer as well. It's not getting the hype machine around it. Sea of Thieves is, though. Mm-hmm. People are losing their mind over this, and I think it's the fun factor.
Sure.
I do think Xbox is, if Sea of Thieves is as successful as it sounds like it is right now, like it's crazy successful. Like it's number one in the charts in the UK. Like it's number one pretty much all over the place, which is awesome. Mm-hmm. Microsoft is in a different situation than PlayStation with regards to where they put their games and how they do this. Call of Duty, we know, was going to be there. And you know, when Jeff Grubb said there was a rumor that Starfield might be coming to PlayStation, I think that's true.
Yeah,
I think they're going to, how these games did and how they fared coming to this console, to the PlayStation, is all depending on if they put more games. I wouldn't be shocked if we got Gears. I'd be very shocked if we got Halo. I think that's one they would keep and be like, this is our thing. But I agree with you, Matt. Throwing it on PlayStation, I think, would revitalize the series.
Yes.
And it would be huge for it.
I also don't really think that there's any inherent issue with doing it with your back catalog, right? Tossing Halo Infinite on PS5 now, whatever it's sold on Xbox, reason stands to believe that that's probably what it's sold through. You're probably not going to see hundreds of thousands of copies of Halo Infinite still move over the course of the next little while. Mm-hmm. You could if it hit on PlayStation. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like there's a way to do that with your back catalog, that they've had their fill on their platform across PC and across Xbox. And now bringing it to PlayStation can't really hurt. I think it's going to be dependent on what they see. I think you're right, Court. Sea of Thieves, I think, out of the four that we've gotten thus far over the course of the last few months, I've seen the most buzz over. I know a lot of people who picked up Hi-Fi Rush were very stoked on it. Pentiment seems like a very specific game for a very specific person. I personally really loved it because of how weird it was, but I can understand why many wouldn't. I feel like they've also launched all three of those games in a very crowded time. Like, I feel like January, February, and March, and even to an extent April, have been busy across gaming, across the number of random launches that have hit, like PAL World, like Helldivers, like Manor Lords now, who have pushed over a million in no time flat. You've had a bunch of stuff like Rise of the Ronin. You have Stellar Blade. You have a lot here across, you know, a bunch of RPGs as well that are system sellers for some people, including myself. Like, it's been a busy time, so I don't think those games launched in a window that would have really catered to their success. Now, that being said, I think Xbox has said it time and time again. I think their strategy is shifting to be more of a platform. They want you to be able to play their stuff anywhere. They want you to have access to it anywhere. And that's where they're going to generate the most amount of their sales. There was like a thing that like in the top 20 PlayStation games right now, like a handful of them are Xbox owned. Like that's pretty wild.
Yeah, but they bought. That's because they bought Call of Duty. They bought all these studios.
But still, that doesn't take away from the fact that like this will be a concurrent thing going forward. Moving on, if they continue to bring Xbox titles to PlayStation, and especially stuff like Call of Duty, you will see Xbox-owned IPs on the top PlayStation charts. And they're seeing 100%. That, right?
I think for sure that they should have them on there. It's whether they do. I agree with you on the back catalog. I think Hi-Fi Rush, some of the issues that might have with that, it was free on Xbox Game Pass. So if you had a PC and you weren't just a PlayStation player, you could play that game when it launched.
Right.
So I think a better strategy for that game, when they did launch it, I truly thought that should have been a PlayStation Plus game. It's Xbox saying, hey, here, we're bringing some games to PlayStation. I see.
Interesting.
Hi-Fi Rush goes on PlayStation Plus. Here you go. Go play it. Don't put it in like, you know, the free game that comes. Have it in a tier where it's going to be, you got to be paying for PlayStation Plus, but you can get that game and then have the other games. I'm actually shocked about Grounded. I had some fun playing that game. I'm not shocked about Sea of Thieves, but I'm with you, Matt. If they put the back catalog on there, just think of the Halo fans, period. They lose their minds. But if the Xbox people we know were here right now talking, they'd be like, dude, you guys are crazy. But I don't think it's out of the question because like I said, PlayStation and Xbox are in different stratospheres. It's unfortunate. Yes. Nintendo sells Nintendo and it is what it is.
Nintendo's a weird outlier. Like they do their own thing.
The number one console, it's PlayStation. Mm-hmm. And Xbox is trying to play catch up and they're just not getting there. So they've tried to they're pivoting. Let's be honest. They're pivoting. Yep.
And I really think I slightly disagree with you, Court, because I think what they should have done is launch it everywhere simultaneously that you want to bring it, hit it on PlayStation, hit it on Xbox. But guess what? If you're on Xbox and you have Game Pass, you get it free. You have to pay for it on PlayStation. You know what I mean?
Bitter about MLB the Show, but we'll let that one go.
I don't disagree with you because that's a Sony owned first party studio. I don't disagree with you on that front. But I do think that like launch if the strategy will remain to bring these things multi-platform, I think their biggest and their wisest decision will be launch it all across the board day and date. If they're getting a Game Pass subscriptions because people are playing it there, fantastic. If they're selling through at full price on PlayStation, they're not losing money by doing so. I think my biggest question here, and let me ask you this both before we kind of shift off of this topic, do we see a world where your Helldivers, where your PlayStation Live service, because I think we've kind of tied this talk to death. There's no chance that you're going to see Spider-Man or Uncharted on Xbox, but they obviously have a focus to some extent on live service going forward. Do you see a world where PlayStation starts to branch out past PC to Xbox to bring their kind of live service or the third-party offerings elsewhere?
Honestly, no.
No.
I don't.
Okay, why?
Because I think the success of Helldivers 2 just on PC was enough because they have the player base and the install base that they have on the PlayStation. And I do think Xbox's strategy is going to be like, I don't see Xbox continuing to make consoles year after year after year. I think if it's still a console game, no. But if it becomes the service game, which that's where I think we're heading in the next 10 years, then yes. But in the immediate future, no, I don't see them doing it. Like, I would think if they were going to do it, they would have done it with Helldivers 2.
Rice, what do you think?
And I think the also just the, as someone who has been partial to the PlayStation experience for a large majority of my gaming journey, I did kind of pride myself in the exclusivity of, PlayStation's, what they offer, everything, really. The AAA experiences were something that I really, really valued. And I was really okay with. And, you know, because I've been someone who's never participated in the console war, mm-hmm. maybe that's the thing, right? I have been fortunate enough to have both. And so I don't care for that war, but I have always just really loved what Sony has put out in terms mm-hmm. of the exclusives. And so with that in mind and the moves that they make that are on brand for Sony, I don't think that it would move towards the Xbox.
No, I think you're both right, especially in the recent change in leadership with now who is leading the show, who is a very financed focused and results driven executive as we know it. I think that they are still very much in the let's sell this box and let's get these games to these players in this space. I don't think they lose out on PC because PC is a lost cause no matter what in terms of consoles. Like, you have people who are going to play it there regardless.
The fact that we can get trophies, Matt, now on PC, which is the coolest thing ever.
100%.
You know a launcher's coming. You know they're going to get their
piece. But they already have a launcher.
Yeah, but selling the store, like everything be in there where they can get their coin, that it doesn't all go through Steam. Because right now it all goes through Steam.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about PlayStation getting their cut.
Yep. Yes, and I wouldn't be surprised. I think we would really have to see a world where Xbox over the course of the next 5 to 10 years really starts to pull ahead because, let's say, their platform approach does work. I still think they'll always have a box. I just don't think there's going to be as much of a focus on it moving forward. But I do think that like it would take PlayStation really dropping on its back foot for them to even consider bringing these things elsewhere. I think it would be awesome if Helldivers 2 came. I think that especially the live service multi-platform stuff should be everywhere. I don't really see a world why it shouldn't. But I just don't think that as PlayStation as we know it would ever make that move. But let us know in the comments, folks, what other games do you want to see come over from Xbox land to the world of PlayStation? But let's talk a little about Stellar Blade, because I'm going to pull up our first news story here. Stellar Blade, new game plus mode available on launch on April 26th. This is coming from the PlayStation blog themselves. This is coming from Kim Hyung-tae, who is the director at ShiftUp. Stellar Blade launches tomorrow, last week, and it's the beginning of E's mission to save humanity one slice at a time. They are excited to announce the new game plus will be rolling on out launch, along with a host of new expanded gear levels, new costumes to wear, and a suite of new skills. So they've done a bunch here outside of just you can hop back in and roll over your progress.
They've done a huge amount, dude. Like
34.
We need to go back and review this game again.
34 new outfits, additional costumes for Adam, Lily, and the drone. You can reopen chests to get new stuff.
Is there a costume where we can put like a muzzle over Adam?
If that's what you're into, Court, whatever you want, dude.
You know?
Whatever you're into, bro.
I was going to say, all right.
All right, man.
A muscle.
Chains and whips. All right, Riri.
You guys put your head in the gutter. Just because
we're sex positive here.
You guys just go right into the gutter.
Chains and whips excite thee. That's okay, buddy.
Come on now.
That's okay. A whole bunch of new skills, 4 new beta skills, 8 new skills to enhance them, and 5 new drone skills. There is a lot here. This could have been a $10 charge any other day of the week, and I don't think people would have batted their eyes here.
And you know what? I will say this over and over again about what PlayStation's done this generation, and then I would say in the last year, in the same chest. Oh my God. dude, I'm way too old for one of those things. It'll break my back. They keep continuing to pretty much give us these like free little timbits and like, you know, new game plus timbits. Yeah, I know. I said timbits.
Timbits. I was like,
it's Canadian.
You know, it's Canadian. Yeah, it's very, look, I made it more Canadian. Yep. I'm impressed that this was all free because I made the joke just now, but like you look at everything that they've just added to this game. It had me jump back in.
Come on, of course.
It made me want to jump back into the game for sure. Because while we were doing the review, Steve McVary, who's in the chat saying rude things, he made a suggestion of how to do the saves because there is a point of no return when you play this game.
Yeah.
So we're going to do kind of a review here because we haven't been able to talk about it on the show since the embargo. You had hit a point of no return, so anything that you do before that to collect all the trophies, you will need to do the separate endings to get those trophies. But if you're able to have a separate save, so I did do it at the moment we were talking. I'm like, oh yeah, because I was almost finished the game, but I hadn't hit the point yet. So I made a separate save. You put it in the cloud, and then you're able to use it. And I've been able to go back and start doing all those side missions and finishing off the one side mission Matt told me to do, but the lounge singer, which was, you're right, very cool mission. Mm-hmm. It was cool. I was able to do all those things and clear out the world. But then with all this stuff coming, I was able to use all these new skills that we're able to get. I was like, oh, this is pretty cool, man. Well, but you can only use them in New Game Plus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
I was able to go into my next save and start a New Game Plus just to see what the experience looked like and how the bunny suit had been changed.
Yeah, I mean, we had a full review hit with Steve and Bobby from the Creature Cast talking all things Stellar Blade. I really loved it. I was genuinely surprised by how much I fell in love with that game. I went into it prepared to be whelmed. It's not exactly an experience that I'm not a Soulsborne player. The demo I thought was good, not great. But then once you get right past where the demo ends, essentially, and you get into Zion and you get into the open zones, the game really kind of takes on a life of its own, and I was really impressed with that. And one of the things that we talked about, and I know this was a complaint both you, Court, and Steve had, was with the side characters, and I was trying to struggle and think about why did I like them more than you did, and I came to the conclusion that I actually played the majority of the game in the Korean, in Korean with subtitles, where the voice acting was much, much, much better than the English voice cast across the board, in my opinion. I'll usually play whatever game I'm playing in the home language with subs on. So I only switched in the back, I don't know, 15 to 20% because I was dealing with the child at that point, and it was harder for me to read the subs. So I was able to listen while I was taking care of them. But I played it in the Korean, in Korean with the subs on, and the voice acting made that experience much, much better. Then I will say the wooden kind of performances by the English cast.
Yeah, and no offense to the voice actor who does Adam. It's just, it's a very monotone voice. And then after a while, I was just like, yeah, I'm done. Like, I don't want you talking. And unfortunately,
he is
the voice of the drone that is with you almost the whole game. So it's like, come on, man. Like, he wasn't animated. He didn't, like, even when he should have been animated in parts, he wasn't. It was just like, it's the same tone every time he talks to you. And I'm just like, I can't do anything to do with that. Like, it's just, it's just not happening. I want nothing to do with it. So it's unfortunate, but as I, this year, had played two games in a row where 100% I would not have purchased and 100% have liked both of them. But I like Stellar Blade more than I liked Rise of the Ronin.
Oh, same. Big same.
Yeah. Rise of the Ronin, I felt it slowed down too much for me in the second half. It got good again in the third half, but that second act kind of just didn't work for me in Rise of the Ronin. Stop looking at the chat.
No, not to, third half.
Sorry. You know how it get, you act. Like, yeah, you know how yeah, it yeah, cut yeah, out. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But with Stellar Blade, it was the first one in a long time. I was even messaging Matt. Like, I was theorizing where the story was going. I wanted to play. Like, I sat down and I'm like, I haven't done this in a long time. I didn't go to bed early a couple nights because I was just playing this game. Just couldn't stop playing the game.
Same. And like, I think Digital Foundry said it, and I think Steve said it in our conversation as well, but like, it feels like a PS2 or PS3 era game, and I don't mean that derogatorily. Like, the game it's fun. The combat is great. It gets better as it goes.
Yep.
The story for me was, and I know a lot of people didn't like it, I actually really enjoyed it, and I thought that it surprised me in a lot of ways. And, you know, Steve and I were calling each other at like 10:30 p.m. at night as we were finishing different endings to talk about what the other person was seeing. And it's just like, there was a lot of really cool stuff for Shifts Up to come out with their first console experience to be this solid. I think there is a lot here that they could do with hopefully what they, you know, assuming they're able to get a sequel. This game was really great. And it was probably my biggest surprise of the year thus far. Like, I really, really, really enjoyed it. And again, like, I encourage people to check it out. Rice, is Stellar Blade on your list here? Is this something that you're looking forward to? Are you already in the doghouse with Dragon's Dogma 2? You don't want to open up the Stellar Blade.
It's funny that you mentioned that because I was prompted to be like, you know, maybe we shouldn't hang Dragon's Dogma up, but it also it leaves way for my playthrough with Stellar Blade. That is what I'm moving on to. I'll be playing a little bit of catch up, so I'll share my thoughts on it moving forward. And by the way, I welcome spoilers. Nothing can ever really be spoiled for me because I truly experience something when the controller is in my hands. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'm excited to play that. And I also wanted to echo what you were talking about in terms of voice acting and what language, you know, it is originally supposed to be in terms of the experience. And I really appreciate that. I played through Ghost of Tsushima in both English and Japanese. Same. And so it was, I like comparing those two things. As someone who watches a bunch of anime, I also watch anime in both languages. And so I like to compare those performances. And almost every time I do prefer the native language over the English ones. So
same. Yeah,
I appreciate that. I thought I was the only one.
No, dude, same. Like Ghost of Tsushima, as soon as I found out that the lead actor for Jin was one of my favorite voice actors in anime,
absolutely.
I was like, I'm there 100%. Yes. You cannot take me off of this. Mm-hmm. But Stellar Blade is awesome. Go check it out. There's plenty of discourse online. Ignore it. It's a great game. Yes. Let's hop into a couple more news stories because we have had a doozy of a show before we even got to questions yet.
Yeah, I apologize. That was my bad.
No.
It was a great show. We're having a great conversation, yeah. Bud.
Coming from console creatures ourselves, Alien Rogue Incursion has been announced. Servios is working on an Alien Rogue Incursion, a new single-player game coming to PSVR 2, Quest 3, and Steam VR. We got a brief trailer showing off the announcement. I'm just going to hop forward a little bit here, but this is a VR Alien title. Is there much of anything
here? I'm just happy there's a VR game coming. I know we have a question.
Yep, I was about to pull that in. Yeah. Yeah, pulling in the question because Nagachaka writes in saying, are any of you hyped for Alien Rogue Incursion for PSVR 2? With Resident Evil Village, Resident Evil 4 Remake, and now this Alien game on PSVR 2, I'm very, very tempted to buy one now.
Personally, absolutely not.
Yeah. No. I am much too much of a chicken shit to go anywhere near this game. Yeah. I like forced myself to deal with Resident Evil because 4 is genuinely fantastic. Same with Village, both genuinely fantastic experiences on PSVR 2. And I would say that if you can get one on sale now,
you're all over Facebook Marketplace.
If you look across Synapse, across Horizon, there is a number of good experiences. I would just come into PSVR 2 understanding that what you see could be what you get.
Mini golf is the best game on the console.
There's a lot to love there. Personally, I'm staying far away from Alien. Maybe I could get, if the reviews come out and they hit and then the gameplay looks great, I might get suckered into it and then regret it. But I am so far on the, I'm going to watch that from a distance.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I don't need to be scared in my pants. And, you know, I know you can take the immersion and off and on, but like even playing Resident Evil, that demo that we got to play for PSVR 2, it's, I'm just not a jump scare type person. And I'm worried I'm going to break something with that thing on. But if you really want to go get one, Nagachaka, you can borrow mine, buddy. You live around the corner from me.
There you go.
Just come borrow it. I will let you, if you want to experience all that, you know where I live. Just come get it. I have it here. It's just,
there you go.
I'm right now with PSVR 2. I'm still in my disappointed stage.
Same.
And Horizon is such a good game. Call of the Mountain is a great, great game. Not just a VR game. It is a great game.
Yep.
And I don't feel like I've been given anything else since that was good. You know, Gran Turismo is very cool, but Horizon's a great game. And I think they built something there and I need more.
Synapse is still probably one of my favorite experiences on that entire, that entire thing. But Rice, are you a big VR person?
See, I don't know. I was going to chime in on this. The VR experience is so interesting to me because I am a gamer that loves to really like dive in. It's like long hour sessions as someone who enjoys story games, solo experiences are very important to me. I know we've been talking about multiplayer ones, but they're a big part of what I enjoy about storytelling. And so I don't know that I'm someone who particularly likes to use VR as a vehicle for that. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So yep. Like I'm not playing the VR for long sessions. What I'm doing is I'm hanging out with people and we're taking turns. And gotcha. So yep. the question was, are we excited about something like Resident Evil and Alien? The answer to that for my specific context is yes, because I can, you know, have a party, have some people come over and we all laugh at each other getting scared and poop our pants. But it's not because we're experiencing the whole game solo. I'm not doing that. I'm with Matt in court here. Like I'm a scaredy cat. On stream, people love to jump scare me, but after I am so physically drained and tired from all of that jump scare. Like, it's just not worth the energy for me. But to kind of speak to that niche situation where you're having fun with a few friends, yeah, that's pretty exciting to me. It's funny, it's hilarious because you're not the only one.
I think that's the outlier here. If that game looks like it'll be fun to play with other people around, I think maybe then I'll pick it up.
Yeah.
Let's hit a couple quick more before we get into questions, because they're ones I can't leave out, because Kingdom Hearts 4 is apparently coming to in 2025, coming from an insider, according to Insider Gaming, written by Grant Taylor Hill. It has been claimed that Kingdom Hearts 4 will be released in 2025. This news comes via Daniel RPK on Twitter, who published the claim through his Patreon platform, but the news was quickly circulated on social platforms. Since Square Enix revealed Kingdom Hearts 4 in 2022, everything has gone relatively silent, so it seems like it's to be released in 2025. The first major trailer expected to drop soon. There's a few scrappy details floating around. Is that there's a report that it's a base place for the Lost Master story arc set in Quadratum. There's a multiverse style of play with several worlds being open for exploration by the player. Sora will face Heartlessness as the game unfolds, and the character's quote-unquote daily life will be explored in greater depth. So I'm amped. I love Kingdom Hearts. I'm a big King. I've watched like 4 hour long deep dives into the lore of that thing.
Because if I didn't include it in the agenda, Matt would have lost his
mind. It's still bonkers trying to uncover what that story is. But I love Sora. I love that world. I just love everything about what's going on there. I'm very, very excited to see whatever this is going to be. If that hint that we're going to see parts of Sora's daily life means we're going to have any sort of Persona-esque social sim, I'm 150,000% in.
So Matt, regardless of when this comes out and then Square Enix puts out the we're disappointed in the sales, like post, like, you know, a couple months later, because that's what they do because they have way too much expectations. What Disney properties do you want in the game? Because that's what matters. Let's be honest here. I liked it. I played Kingdom Hearts 3 with my daughter. She loved that game. We played it last year. She thought that game was unbelievably amazing. Neither one of us know what's going on in the story. She thought it was amazing. What Disney properties do you want? And if they do say, Matt, if they do going into the real life, do you want live action Disney properties as well? Like, mix it up.
Dude, I would be all over it. I'm trying to think, because we've seen so many fantastic Disney-ness. So
the last one, the newest Disney property, because I'll help you out here, as someone who just recently played Kingdom Hearts 3, the newest Disney property was in it was
Frozen.
Frozen, yes. Yep. So you still have, you know...
Entangled was in there too.
Yeah, but you're going to have... I'm going to say this. Encanto would be in it.
Encanto, Inside Out.
Yeah, Encanto. Big Hero Inside 6. Out.
Big Hero 6 was in it.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, I think that this one, like, I'd be kind of curious. Zootopia is an easy slam dunk.
Yes.
Yeah. I think even that, as that translates, I think also with the rumors of a Kingdom Hearts movie coming, like, if this
Moana is an easy slam dunk as well.
Moana wasn't, is it? No, you're right. No, she wasn't. Moana is an easy slam dunk. I think that if there is a Coco level, Steve in the chat, Coco level, would be amazing.
That would be very, it would be bright and colorful, and it's a great song.
Ooh, seriously. Yes. I think that there's a lot that they could do. And if we did go into live action, and if we got some, like, give me some, like, it was like 2000s cuts. Like, give me some, like, give me a That's So Raven level, Woo! Right? Where she sees into the future. Give me a Kim Possible. You know what I mean? If we get into the weird. Kim
Possible, that's catchy.
I think that there's a lot that they could do here. And I really think that I hope it's going to be awesome. I hope that it kind of comes together. I am unbelievably excited to see whatever this is going to be. And I know Emma's a fan. I know your daughter's a fan, Court, which is why.
I'm telling you right now, this game, I know for a fact when the trailer drops, I can show it for her, and she's going to be like, yeah, we're playing that day one. That's 100%. A day one. She'll be all over that game.
That's a day one. Rice, are you a Kingdom Hearts fanboy?
I was not, but my immediate friend group was, and I've watched all of the playthroughs.
Matt is, so you're just gonna have to deal with it now.
I love it. I love the fandom. I love, honestly, diving deep and seeing other people just become so happy over this. So yeah,
I'm in, man. One last quick thing before a couple questions, because randomly today in the story of PlayStation just dropping stuff out of nowhere, it's not like the busiest video game season of the year is coming up or anything where they could maybe debut stuff like this. Housemarque dropped a trailer, a teaser thing, just says tomorrow. There's a face in some broken glass. Of course, we haven't really gotten anything from Housemarque since Returnal. That hit on PC as well, so it's not like there can be a PC announcement. I believe there was reports that their next game was supposed to be an original IP. I don't know if this is a Returnal 2. I don't know if that it is the debut of that original IP. Court, what are you expecting out of Housemarque here?
Well, Steve's question kind of goes with this, but I believe it does.
Yeah.
But I don't think this is a game announcement of any kind. I think this is, it's the anniversary of the release of the game. I think it's 3 years since the game has been released. Something I think like if anything, we could be getting a new game mode, something to do with the Shattered, something to do with like somehow you could start. I think it's going to be something revolving around the original game. I don't think if we were going to get an announcement from Housemarque themselves about it, their new IP, I think that would be at a showcase. And I do think, or at a PlayStation Experience, that's where we would see something like that. I think it's going to be something. Hey, maybe they're shattering our minds and this is the first game that drops on Xbox. I don't know, but I don't think it's going to be anything so hype. We're going to get something for the game itself. That's all I think.
Interesting. Okay. I hadn't considered that. And I think you might be onto something because that does look like the protagonist's kind of face there. Rice, were you a Returnal player? Is this doing anything for you?
I really liked Returnal.
Hell yeah.
I'm thinking, I don't know, maybe this is a little bit like a little bit too obvious, but maybe some VR support for Returnal.
Hold on.
Because like that would be
good.
Insane, right? So like I don't know, it could be good, you know,
but it's like just the eyes and stuff in that right. teaser and stuff you that, right dude, that would right. be hype,
that would be crazy, but yeah, that's immediately first what my mind view went Returnal? To.
Oh, you're both cooking right now, and I we'll talk about this next week.
I thought it was a game mode. I think it's a game mode, and he thinks it's right. VR, and that's even better because then I'm all over that.
Yeah. I think either one of you could be right here, but let's hop into some questions because Black Wyver, who shout out to Black Wyver, won our Stellar Blade giveaway. We decided last second to run one on Twitter, and congrats to him for winning, saying, question for the show. I'm currently playing Tales of Kinzera and loving it. Oh, yeah, I've been playing a bunch of that. We'll save that for next week. Prince of Persia.
Yeah, I've been playing Dave the Diver too, but I just figured we didn't have enough time to go into all that.
Yeah, we'll talk about that next week. Prince of Persia was my first Metroidvania, and I can't wait to play Dead Cells and other games of the same genre. However, I need your help in deciding my next game. I had planned to play Spidey 2. However, thanks to the wonderful folks at Console Creatures, I now own a copy of Stellar Blade. Question, what game should I play first, Spidey 2 or Stellar Blade? Court has me really hyped for Stellar Blade. I'm normally not an RPG kind of guy, but his thoughts have made me hyped. Thank you for all the positivity you bring.
I would say right off the bat, play Stellar Blade because Spider-Man 2 is a longer game. Stellar Blade, that's one of the things I really enjoyed about it. It's not that long. My playthrough was 21 hours, but I believe, Matt, you were just over 18 hours. Like, it's not that long. And I think he can get a lot of value out of playing Stellar Blade. The combat is fun. The story is good. The world building's wet. Like, they did a very good job with this game because I think with Spider-Man, you're going to want to go get the platinum and you're going to want to do everything. So I would suggest play Stellar Blade, get that done, and then, you know, spend some time with Spider-Man.
I agree. I think also just kind of like being in the zeitgeist of the moment, Stellar Blade is the current talk of the town. Spider-Man 2 is not going anywhere. It's one I love that game dearly. But Stellar Blade is hot right now. Hop in, enjoy it, and then Spider-Man 2 will be waiting for you when you're done. But Rice, do you have the same thoughts and feelings?
Yeah, I mean, like, listen, Spider-Man is always going to be there, and I don't think that experience is ever really dulled. And so, like, you can play that at any time and be like, whoa, this is cool. But you're right. Let's just ride the wave of Stellar Blade now, dude. Like, it's pretty dope right now. So, you know, regardless of what people's opinions are, people are talking about it. And so experience it for yourself, right?
They're not just talking about it. They're doing those terrible videos. Have you seen
totally? Them? I've seen so many, dude.
Oh yeah. Oh, yeah, bro. Hashtag free Stellar Blade.
I don't normally want to, and I even put it in my room, I don't want to yuck anybody's yum.
You guys
need to get a life because that's just some sad, sad stuff. Like,
bro, like chill, you know.
Just to give you a heads up, I have the bunny suit. It is very risque. It shows enough. If you need to see more, then I think you need to get outside and you need to go, you know, see people in real life. Because
for a second, you meant that you had the bunny suit for you. I pictured Court in a bunny suit.
I need this to happen now. Next week's thumbnail.
So I just need people to, you know what? I don't, man, this whole free Stellar Blade thing, This is sad. This is just straight up sad.
This is a bunch of people who have never had to face any sort of adversity in their life. They've never had to deal with any sort of problems. They've never had to deal with anything remotely a remote issue. And they look at the environment and they say, you know what? You know where I'm going to plant my flag? A small bit of cleavage. And apparently this is censorship. People need to just get a
life. Yeah, man.
Ed Varnell from the Boss Rush Network writes in saying, do you think we'll ever see an M-rated first-party game that hits home with the player that makes them speak on why they connect, seek therapy, or really make them rethink their attitude, opinion, or characteristics about themselves? Do you think Sony is the company to achieve that? I think this is a great question. I don't think Sony's the company to achieve that. I think if you're going to be getting a game like that, I think The Last of Us and Part 2, I think, are the closest that you might see Sony kind of edge towards that. But I think that's very much an indie space. I think you're going to need some developers who A, understand what they're talking about, and B, are willing to have those conversations. On top of the fact that I think the person playing it also needs to be open to take a look at who they are and what they're talking about. I'll be the first to admit that the games like Celeste really helped me examine my own mental health and the things that I was struggling with. There are a lot of games that already start to do that. I don't think we're going to see it come from Sony first party the way that we've seen Xbox do it with Hellblade. And I do think that it's because, you know, Hellblade, I think that they have a very concrete story that they want to tell. I don't know if we're going to see Sony first party come out in the same way. And but I do think indie is the space for that more so than AAA.
Agreed. Yeah, I think
I'm right there with you. I don't think they are. Indie, no. I think the indie developers do a lot better job. I don't think Xbox is there. I don't think PlayStation's there. I think somebody else can do it.
Yeah, and frankly, and this isn't something that I necessarily agree with, but you know, if we're talking about PlayStation and Xbox, it's not something that necessarily sells.
Correct.
Yeah. And that's something that they want to focus on. That makes sense. And so for an indie developer to focus on something and topics like that are very introspective, it does make sense for an indie developer to do that. It's very niche right now, and those conversations can be extremely triggering, right? And so to dive that deep, I don't think that it's not going to be first party, no.
Our final question coming from Stevie V himself, Mr. Steve Igvari, writing and saying, hi, PlayStation generation, long time, first time. With Housemarque teasing an announcement for tomorrow, it made me think back to Returnal and its great use of the DualSense. What are the top five games to use the PS5 controller to its fullest potential? I think Returnal is an easy lock. I think
Astro.
Yeah.
Astro.
Astro's like the easy
for sure.
Yeah. I think Horizon did a phenomenal job as well. I do. Like the bow mechanics, it is great.
Ratchet and Clank. I think Ratchet and Clank
did really well.
Nailed it as well. And Ghost Spider-Man. Of Tsushima.
Well, Ghost. Yeah, the director's cut. Yeah.
The director's cut on PS5 really, like, that game felt great.
The wind coming through your controller.
Yeah, wind. Bro. I was just thinking that.
Yeah. Spider-Man, like you said, Court, is a great one as well. It's like feeling the webbiness.
And this might be controversial. Last of Us was just okay. Like, I think they could have done more. It was just okay. It's just like Pirates of the Sea of Thieves. I was about to say Pirates of the Caribbean. Matt and I were like, well, there's some very cool dual sense functionality, but some of it I was just like, man. Like, there's so much more I think you can do with it to not be gimmicky. And some games just do what they needed to do is what maybe a way to look at it.
I think God of War Ragnarok also did a pretty good job. Yep. I think it felt great, but I think those are probably...
MLB The Show actually does a good job. I know, shocker me saying it, but the baseball, you can actually, the dip, depending on how you throw the ball and stuff, you can feel it in the triggers. So it is kind of very cool. Or if you're a high cheese shot thrown at you, like you feel it on the controller. So that stuff is kind of cool. But once again, they're not doing it as well as the others. They're doing it just enough. I think they could even go further. Like I give an example, a game like NHL that I love, like EA, you have a game where there's hitting involved and you have zero rumble and zero functionality out of the controller. Zero. Right. Taking a slap shot does nothing. They do zero DualSense functionality. To immerse yourself in a sports games, I think it's a genre where the DualSense is like made for it and not a lot of them do it.
I think we might see more of it once Xbox kind of follows suit. Yep. I think they just probably don't want to put the development time in for a singular console, but I think that's a pretty good list right there of some great DualSense functionality. But folks, that brings us to the end of this week's episode. Thank you so much for tuning in, for listening, for all the love and support. We appreciate you all. As always, Rice, boy, if people wanted to see and hear more from you, where could they do so?
Yes, absolutely. I didn't stream this week, but every Thursday I stream on Twitch at Rice Boy with 3 Y's.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. And you can find me on my link tree, Rice Boy 3 Y's TV.
Oh my God. Court, what about you, my dude?
You can find me every Wednesday evening at 8 p.m. at Three Dads in a Console. You can find me at Console Creatures, and you can find me on socials at Court Lalonde.
Yes, and of course you can find myself over at Matt_SilverSoul. You can find my bylines here at Console Creatures and But Why Though. If you're curious about more K-pop collaborations with gaming, I did an article about that over on But Why Though. Go check that out.
I usually read all of Matt's stuff. I did not read that.
Yeah, because it would none of it would make any sense to you, my friend. And I appreciate you even thinking about reading it. That brings us to the end of the show, folks. We'll be back next week. Stay safe out there and be well. Peace.
Peace.